Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute podcast, your podcast to talk about everything related to Frank Herbert's cinematic world of Dune. I am not your host, Calf, and your hosts are...
I'm John.
And I'm Zach.
Hey, I think that went really well.
that was not too bad.
I think I messed up the titling, but hey, it works.
it's all good. If you go back and listen to all the intros that we've done, everything changes a little bit here and there, and it's all a little different.
It's good.
I'm nowhere near consistent with mine.
It's my last episode with you guys for the week, so I figured why not change it up a little bit.
Exactly. It's Friday, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is the last episode of the week, and if you joined us yesterday, you found out that Rabin was going to go get some water because it's super hot, and all those Atreides soldiers are probably really thirsty. He's probably going to go get some like watermelon or orange slices too, because you know it's after the end of the Little League game. Everyone's shaking hands, saying good game.
And Rabin has been proved to be nothing but a gracious and considerate host.
Yeah. Spoilers, that's not what's going to happen. Instead, he yells as loud as he can and like in the clunkiest movement immediately cuts off the head of the first prisoner. Yep. We don't actually see that happen, but we see enough of his movements to put two and two together at that point.
Yeah, kind of the shots filmed behind like fire raging, so there's a lot of distortion in the shot. And
yeah, mm-hmm. And then you just kind of see him sidestep and do it again. And so we've talked a lot about Dave Bautista's casting as Rabin, and how it's perfect. But I think Dave Bautista's experience and everything with, his wrestling career really helped with learning over the top movements and stuff to be super sure. Exaggerated. And because Rabin is as large as he is, there is no finesse and swift movement with him. It's all big clunky movements and stuff, and we especially see that here.
Yeah, even in the book, I think he's presented, if I recall, just as a brute of sorts.
Yeah, well, his nickname's the Beast.
Beast Rabin.
Yeah, Beast Rabin. Rabin. that motion of him, like when he brings the sword down. I'm a tennis player.
Sure.
And it looked a lot like he was just doing a really quick, fast slice, like a slice shot or a drop shot. And I was like, oh man, I wonder if he like practiced that at all. If maybe he has a little bit of tennis background. It's like just as an actor.
Dave Bautista is actually a secret, huge tennis nerd.
Maybe so, but I don't know. Just that motion was it was a very, very similar motion.
Yeah. We don't see it for long, though, because we cut back inside and we see, three Sardaukar soldiers as they're kind of just walking through this empty palace.
So, John, a quick note about Rabin as well. You said Rabin. To me, it's Rabin. I go with the Arabic style of nomenclature.
I think we say both, yeah. Just interchangeably.
Rabin sounds better in my mind.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
I've always said Rabin because that's how Vladimir Harkonnen says
yes
in this movie. Yeah. He does say Rabin, but if it's rooted in Arabic, then that would make sense that you, a Lebanese man, would go with Rabin.
I don't think it's rooted in Arabic necessarily. It's just more if I were to see that, I would say Rabin myself. The note I wanted to take here is as is with his personality as it was presented in this movie, and as we'll see in follow-ups and in the second movie as well, he's not a leader that you would want to have, right? It's almost look like, I mean, he let his troops do all the work, and here he is just taking kill credit for everything. Everyone's lined up. He didn't get his hands dirty in the fight. Not that we saw anyway, and I feel like he didn't fight in the book, but presented in the fight scenes. So here he is at the end of the battle where everything is peaceful and tipped to one side's advantage, taking the credit for all the work that his troops put out.
He's a classic middle manager. Yep. Just a bad, bad middle manager. Takes all the credit, none of the responsibility.
I personally executed all prisoners of war.
Yeah. I defeated Gurney Halleck.
Yeah. Right. So yes, thank you. So before we jump to the next scene, I just wanted
to... No, by all means. But yes, we're back inside the palace. There are three Sardaukar soldiers just kind of walking around this empty hallway. And as they're, you know, kind of descending the stairs, we see
a very
ominous shadow of a figure.
Very ominous shadow.
Stalker in the shadows is what I put in my note.
We don't see a lot of detail. It's one of those shadows where, like, it's far enough away from the wall that there's not enough detail, but you can tell that it's a person, and you can tell that it's, I think, from what I saw when I was looking at it, it looked like it was holding something. But it's kind of hard to tell what it was holding.
I couldn't make out if it was the next person in the coming up scene or if it was a Sardaukar stalker.
I think it's implied. Well, let's just get into it. So we cut straight from here. We see a lone Sardaukar troop kind of walking down a hallway, and your boy Duncan Idaho shows up. And so, I think it's implied that the shadow is Duncan Idaho.
I think so too. And I think it's funny because when you see the lone Sardaukar trooper, he sees Duncan Idaho, and then he just kind of like stops and like freezes for a second, like he was caught off guard.
Yeah.
Or maybe that I don't think he recognizes that it's Duncan Idaho, because I don't think a regular rank and file Sardaukar would necessarily know who Duncan Idaho is.
Maybe if his reputation precedes him enough.
Maybe the surprise was like, who on earth is left standing?
Who the fuck is this guy?
You know, Duncan's outfit is bloodied, right? He's obviously been fighting. Interesting. I took a note here. You know, the look on Duncan's face. He looks like he got his, you know, 2 a.m. post workout bathroom break interrupted, and he's really, really pissed. In contrast with the book here, if I'm not mistaken, and Zach, correct me, isn't he supposed to be drunk?
Yes, I was going to say this. So I think I mentioned it last week when we were talking, or it's at some point in the past I've mentioned it. But yes, so the scene immediately preceding this in the book is when he comes to the palace wasted.
Just fucking off his ass, shit face.
And yeah, and like Jessica is like pissed off at him, and this is right before the conversation that she has with Thufir.
Yes,
in the book. So yeah, it's like I wish they would have kept that in. I understand why they didn't. I mean, it doesn't really do much to, you know, advance plot at all, but it would have made this scene so much better.
Maybe him just stumbling out holding a bottle.
Or just be like, okay, this guy is shit faced right now. Or he's in the stages of early stages of hangover, and he's still kicking ass.
Yeah. Well, this man just rushes right into the 3v1, and he fucking bodies the shit out of these Sardaukar too.
He starts walking towards the first one, and he pulls out his longsword, and then he like notices the other two down the other like adjacent hallway, and then he just pulls out his little short sword.
I love it here. It's like, okay, he's like, okay, maybe this is a two knife fight.
Oh, it's so great.
Beautiful. I mentioned in the, I believe it was like the first episode of this week, or no, sorry, the second episode, you know, like the power scaling we were presented, you know, Atreides slaying Harkonnen and then inadvertently really quickly getting slayed by the Sardaukar. And then here we see Duncan take on three Sardaukar fighters almost effortlessly. Yeah.
Well, that first one, he goes down quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just instant. One thing I just realized, and I forgot to mention this in the second episode this week. So sorry for the abrupt pause. But one
Should
thing
we go
that
back
I,
in time like Wayne's World.
You'll just take this out and splice it into the second episode this week, but also leave it here.
Sure.
Obviously. So when they do the like Atreides, you know, chant thing on the stairs, you see all of the soldiers with the sword do the same thing that Duncan does, where they, you know, cross their arm across their chest and then raise their blade to their forehead.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
So I'm kind of surprised that we don't see that from Duncan here as well, because I feel like, you know, that would have been even more styling on these bitches, but
yeah, we get it later.
Yeah,
we get it later from him.
But yeah, it was something that I noticed, you know, earlier.
Yeah. So Duncan turns on his shield.
Yep.
He remembers to turn on his shield here.
It would have been even more badass if he just went completely shieldless, but we know why he needs it.
Thankfully not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he makes, you know, really quick work of these three. He does a really cool technique where he'll like hold his blade up to the person's neck,
yep,
getting it through the shield, but, and then we'll kind of use his other hand to push them into the blade.
Yeah.
To make sure it's going all the way through, which is a super cool technique, you know, when you're fighting in the universe where shields act the way that they do here. That's a really cool technique, I thought.
And then a fourth Sardaukar appears out from behind the corner. This time, instead of a sword, he's got a little gun, the yep, same little one that Yue had, shooting some darts at Duncan Idaho. And this is where we're glad that Duncan has his shield, because he's unlike Leto taking the dart from the front, so he's able to, you know, get his arm in the way of this dart and then quickly deflect,
yeah,
and parry the, yeah, dart with his
gets
with his
fired blade almost at his hip, I want to say, like, yeah, hip level, and then uses the sword or the dagger.
Yeah. This man's parry game is crazy. He's been playing a lot of Elden Ring.
On that fourth soldier as well, one thing I did enjoy watching is Duncan using his own shield against them, right? Momentum,
yep,
carries, yep, through. And even in the universe of Dune, the laws of physics apply. So he throws one of his weapons in a really hard manner at the
just
absolutely bonks him. You know, you see the blue shield effect take place. So, you know, no shield penetration, but just the impact force knocks him out completely.
Yeah.
Well, and then you also see, as Duncan then, you know, leaps towards this guy, Duncan then reaches for another smaller knife too, out of his, you know, the back of his belt.
That's not what he reaches for. Yeah, he turns on a suspensor field.
Is it?
Yeah. So he's got you see the little red lights. Because if you notice that jump, and we may have to take a pause for you to watch this, but that next jump that he does, he's floating like the Sardaukar do when they come down.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I was wrong. It looked like he just had like a third, like, small knife that was in his back that he, you know, reached for.
I noticed the red lights on the back, and I think it was a personal, like, little suspensor field. Because that jump that he does, it looks like a wire fighting move. Like, yeah, from like karate.
It is a pretty long jump, so.
Yeah. It all happens so fast.
Yeah, well, after this, we'll watch it again, but just to make sure. But I am 90% sure he turns on his own little suspensor field, kind of just to float away. Okay, we're going to pause. John's going to turn on the movie, and we're just going to watch this three seconds real quick.
And we're back. Yep, I was wrong. It is a suspensor field. I'm just stupid.
Which is cool. That's a really cool, like, technique. I mean, if you see someone jump at you, you know, you as a person who's seen people jump before know about how far they can jump and, you know, time that it takes. But
so sometimes with movies, though, they do like to go a little, you know,
extra
in that case to just be, but like,
it's just another thing that he can do to, like, close the gap between him and that troop very quickly and in a kind of surprising way.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder who on earth trained Duncan Idaho.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, if you recall, maybe if, you know, I want to say maybe 30 minutes or so back in the movie, how much respect he has for the Fremen fighters and saying it's the closest to death I've been.
And they fight like demons.
Yeah. More power scaling here. Right. He just made mincemeat out of what's supposed to be the best fighters in the Imperium. Mm-hmm. And now he's basically placing the Fremen's above himself and fighting.
Yeah, and he feels like shit compared to the Fremen. So
it's, yeah, it's certainly, there's a fourth level here that we haven't seen yet. Yeah.
I think we talked about this when we were on Seleucus Secundus, but the Fremen and Sardaukar are very similar in the way, like in their manners of like their, for lack of a better term, like fanatical, you know, soldiers, or at least the Sardaukar are described as that. They attribute their harsh environment to being such fierce fighters, which is the same thing that the Fremen do.
Yeah.
So the Fremen are the only people that, you know, that exist that we know that can even, you know, rival or surpass the Sardaukar.
But I feel like the Fremen do it out of necessity just to survive on Arrakis, whereas the Sardaukar, it's trained into them, mm-hmm. and they just happen to be on Seleucus Secundus, where mm-hmm. shit is not comfortable.
Yeah.
Not to use another gaming reference here, sorry Zach, but you know, they both put a lot of points into faith, I think. So
yeah. Yes.
All right, I can follow that.
However misguided as it may be, or artificial as it may be.
Yeah. True belief on both sides.
Yeah.
So he takes them down and
yeah.
He goes to check on the royalty.
That's right. Yeah. So he starts to go into various bedrooms and sees that they're all empty.
Yeah.
Starts to freak out a little bit.
Yeah. He does go to, yeah, they made it clear that he does go to check on the Duke and Jessica first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's where his loyalty lies first and foremost to Leto, but very closely behind is Paul.
Yep.
And he comes across Paul's room to find yet another empty bed. I think the only word we have this whole minute, other than Rabin's obnoxious yells yes. and stuff, is just a hushed Paul from Duncan, Idaho, as we then see the empty headboard.
Yep, that's right. And that is where my notes end.
Yeah.
Anything else from y'all?
Do you think at this point, kind of just playing on the scene, do you think he thinks that Paul left his bed out of his own will? Or do you think maybe he noticed the drugs were taken and now he believes that Paul was, you know, grabbed?
I think he's smart enough to know what's going on. And I think, you know, he knows that Paul's likely been abducted and or killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he just murked a bunch of Sardaukar in the hallway, then yeah,
he's believing the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My mind would go to abduction too.
Well, definitely abduction, because if he was killed, the bed would be bloodied and
sure.
And everything. So, but we don't know what's going on with Paul just yet. And unfortunately we won't know until we come back next week on Monday.
That's right. So before we close this out, let's do a quick review of the week, if we will. Kath, since you're the guest, we'll pass it off to you first. What'd you think about this week's worth of minutes?
First of all, thank you again for having me this week. It's been an immense pleasure and an honor to be on your show, on your podcast, I should say, show podcast. And the week is maybe not the most defining moment of the movie, but certainly it's up there in terms of it's everything happening super rapidly, but with Yue's betrayal and the events leading up to that, and then the unknown fate of at least the rest of the royal family being Paul and Jessica, I did enjoy this week. I think, you know, we see large scale fighting for the first and maybe only time. We see some beautiful one-on-one and one-on-four fighting from multiple people. I think, you know, Shai Hulud-wise, my personal score for this week would maybe be like a 7, if not higher.
All right, that's a respectable score. I think I'll join you up there. The stuff with UA is so important. I mean, it is such an integral part to this story, and it is you know, one of the major plot lines and, you know, mysteries throughout the first, you know, half or third of the book. So, you know, to kind of get to talk about that, I immensely enjoyed just being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the, you know, seeing that, how they depicted it on screen was great. Not 100% accurate to the books, but 95%, you know, and that's impressive in and of itself.
Yeah. They got all the critical things that they needed to. And
yeah,
like we've talked about so many times, right? Like, if you wanted 100% accurate Dune, you're going to have a 4-part movie that's, you know, 10 hours in total. And then miss things.
That is what I want.
Oh, trust me. I wanted to. I will say it every episode if I have to. Warner Brothers, give me an extended edition, please. Yeah. Like, holy shit. Because they have so much more filmed and so much more is like just in a vault somewhere.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to all the off series and offshoots that come out of this universe. I'm sure Warner Brothers will just want to capitalize 100% on everything.
I'm really, really hoping that this new series in the fall gets a lot of viewership and they continue to put money into it.
And that's the one titled Prophecy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did Sisterhood evolve into that, or did they just drop Sisterhood completely?
I think Sisterhood is like the inspiration material, but it's not.
Okay.
It's not. I don't think it's one-to-one. Gotcha. I could be wrong.
Gotcha. Okay.
As you and all of the viewers know, I have a contentious relationship with Brian Herbert.
Sure.
In that, I think he's just milking his father's legacy, and you know, he can't stop writing. but
it's a quantity over quality thing. It seems.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested to see, you know, where it goes. I would love to see, you know, maybe like backstory stuff on Duncan or some future story stuff on Duncan.
Who knows? Both ways.
There's only millions of Duncans to work with here.
Thousands, but yes.
So, John, what was your childhood score for this week?
I think I'm going to be a little above you guys. I'm going to go 7.5, I think.
Okay, that's fair.
Just because of the gravity of everything. And also, this is our first time that we actually see Duncan Idaho in combat.
Yes.
And he's a fucking badass, dude. And also, you know, we see Gurney Halleck's leadership, and we, you know, we say goodbye to Gurney, at least for Dune Part 1. So, like we joked about earlier in the week, join us in 2025 for when we bring Gurney back on to the Dune Minute podcast.
It will be a while.
all in all, fantastic week. I think they nailed it.
Great.
So,
well, having opened today's minute, I think it's fitting that I will also close it.
By all means.
Thanks. Thanks again. I'm stealing your podcast from you. No big deal. Thanks again for having me. It's
been a treat.
Really good experience. I do enjoy it. I did enjoy it quite a bit. John, out of curiosity, where can people reach you on Twitter?
Oh, you can find us on Twitter at Dune Minute.
What about Gmail?
You can also email duneminute@gmail.com. And we're even on Instagram, believe it or not.
Oh.
At the Dune Minute.
Well, that is great for people to know and reach out to you.
You can find us in all those places online. So
great.
Awesome. Well, Kath, thanks again for joining. It was an absolute pleasure. We'll have to have you back soon.
Thank you.
He's been chomping at the bit for this set of weeks because I knew he had some opinions.
I had some laundry to air out, that's for sure. Thanks again, John and Zach. Well, I appreciate it.
We'll definitely have you back for some more episodes later on in the future. So
thanks.
That's right. And we will be back next week to continue just seeing what's going on with the palace. I think we get some merging of families next week. And I think...
Nope.
What happens next? All right, we'll figure it out. Cool. We will see y'all back on Monday.
Bye. See ya.